This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 292 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a summary of some of the latest developments, and we'll also share some highlights of reportage from the Electronic Intifada's contributors there. Israel launched a new ground invasion into the southern city of Khan Yunus earlier this week, ordering 400,000 Palestinians there to flee. On Monday, Israel massacred at least 70 Palestinians and wounded hundreds more in Khan Yunus. Israeli forces had dropped leaflets instructing people to head toward Al-Mawasi, the area on the western edge of Gaza that has been designated as a so-called safe zone, but has been continuously attacked, including just in the week before. 90 people were killed and 300 were wounded in that attack on July 13th. Our senior editor Maureen Claire Murphy reported yesterday that the new Israeli orders encompassed part of the so-called safe zone that the military had unilaterally declared in Al-Mawasi, where some 1.7 million people displaced from other areas of Gaza are currently concentrated. The new evacuation orders showed the safe zone to now be around 50 square kilometers, down from just under 59 square kilometers, reducing the area by some 15%. For much more, read Maureen Claire Murphy's news report, Poliovirus Detected in Gaza as Israel Attacks Khan Yunus, on electronicintifada.net. And we'll have more details on the detection of the poliovirus in a moment. The Geneva-based Euromed Human Rights Monitor stated that, quote, after carrying out a premeditated mass murder, the Israeli army launched dozens of raids, fire belts, and artillery shelling on homes, streets, and gatherings of displaced people. Thousands of these people fled into the streets in a panic, looking for a safe place that did not exist. The rights group added, quote, this coincided with the Israeli army's declaration that the so-called humanitarian zone in Al-Mawasi would be reduced. This was all part of Israel's media disinformation campaign and psychological warfare tactics, since military assaults on forcibly displaced people and their tents have occurred continually in this area for several weeks now, resulting in hundreds of deaths and injuries. Israel's attacks in Khan Yunus continued on Tuesday, as well as bombings reported in the nearby Burej refugee camp and Rafah in the south. Our contributor Fida Al-Kedra reported on the evacuation orders and massacre in Khan Yunus on Monday. The Israelis opened fire on people who were evacuating areas in eastern Khan Yunus as they had been ordered to do by the occupying forces. The evacuees were attacked from the air and by ground troops using shells and bullets, resulting in a general state of panic. Zainab Abu Taha received a phone call at 9 a.m. The caller ordered her to evacuate swiftly. I got my children, some clothes, and a few essentials ready, she said. When Zainab and other members of her family were about to leave their area in a car, shells were fired directly at us, she added. Her husband and son were killed, along with many other members of her extended family. I saw bodies lying on the ground, Zainab said. I feel shocked and very afraid. Another woman, Iman Al-Kanu, said that a quadcopter fired toward her family, killing her sister. My five-year-old niece came looking for me in the middle of the chaos, Iman recounted. She said to me, Auntie, I saw my mother dead. For more, read Fida Al-Kedra's feature, Israel massacres at least 70 people in Khan Yunus, on electronicintifada.net. Along with Ruweida Amr, Fida Al-Kedra co-authored another piece recounting another massacre in a so-called safe zone where at least 90 people in Al-Mawasi were killed on July 13th. A child named Abdul Rahman was hungry. His mother was unable to cook anything for him, so she had told him to head for a communal kitchen in Al-Mawasi where food was being distributed. Abdul Rahman is still alive after the massacre, though he required an amputation. Many others who had joined him in the queue for food were killed. A mother was preparing food for her children when suddenly she heard explosions. Everything went black, she said. I could not see anything because there was so much smoke and dust. There were more explosions. The woman began screaming and searching for her family. First, she found the body of her baby niece. All around the area where she was living in a tent, the woman saw numerous dead bodies. The woman went searching for her husband and her two children, aged 7 and 9. She was not able to find them. She assumes they've been killed. What did these hungry children do to be killed in such a brutal way? The woman asked. That was from Rueda Amer and Fida El-Kedra's feature, When Israel Attacked Hungry Children, on electronicintifada.net. The Palestinian political party Hamas stated on Monday that the attacks on Khan Yunis will not deter Palestinians from remaining steadfast in their land. Quote, we call upon the international community and the United Nations to urgently intervene to stop the systematic Zionist killing of our people who are facing a genocide, Hamas stated, adding that they affirm that the resistance will remain committed to confronting this criminal enemy that seeks to expel our people and obliterate our national cause. Gaza will remain unbreakable until the occupation is defeated on the path to freedom, return, and self-determination, the statement said. Israeli forces repeatedly and relentlessly bombed Nuseirat refugee camp in the central area of Gaza 63 times in 1 week. The Gaza government media office stated on Sunday that more than 90 Palestinians were killed and 250 wounded in the successive strikes. This video from Sunday showed one of these 63 bombings close up. Near Nuseirat in Deir al-Balah, our contributor Abu Bakr Abed reported that Israeli tanks were heavily targeting the eastern areas of the city, destroying agricultural land. Meanwhile, he stated, sewage has filled all the streets. Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah was attacked on Monday. Israeli forces used a drone to bomb a tent for journalists inside the hospital compound, where thousands of displaced people have sought shelter. At least one journalist was killed in that attack, bringing the number of reporters killed in Gaza over the last 9 months to 163, according to the Gaza government media office. Meanwhile, the last 9 months of Israel's genocide, the destruction of infrastructure, the prevention of entry to aid convoys carrying basic medicine, and the targeting of hospitals has facilitated numerous lethal health epidemics. Along with rampant cases of hepatitis A, food poisoning, skin infections, and other communicable diseases, the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza reported this week that the virus that causes polio has been detected at a number of sites across Gaza. The World Health Organization said that before Israel's genocide began in October 2023, the polio virus was eradicated thanks to a comprehensive vaccination campaign. But after 9 months of war, along with the constant mass displacement of people, the destruction of the health system and sanitation infrastructure has created, quote, the perfect environment for vaccine-preventable diseases to spread, with polio just one of them. The World Health Organization added, it is important to note the virus has been isolated from the environment only at this time, but warned that Palestinians must now contend with the threat posed by the disease. For more, watch or listen to my interview that we published yesterday with Dr. Majid Jaber, an emergency room physician in Gaza who describes in detail how doctors are trying to treat the overwhelming number of patients who are suffering from preventable diseases and horrific injuries with limited supplies. And the Israeli Knesset, the parliament, approved 3 bills this week to close the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, and designate it as a, quote, terrorist organization. The Times of Israel reported on Monday that the bills, if passed into law, would ban UNRWA from operating on Israeli territory, strip UNRWA personnel of the legal immunities and privileges afforded to United Nations staff in Israel, and would brand the agency a terrorist organization and require Israel to cut ties with it. UNRWA spokesperson Juliette Tuma said, quote, it's another attempt in a wider campaign to dismantle the agency. Such steps are unheard of in the history of the United Nations. Israel has destroyed nearly 200 UNRWA facilities in Gaza and has killed more than 200 United Nations employees since October. On Sunday, Israeli forces opened fire on a United Nations vehicle that was heading to the north of Gaza. Yesterday, on Tuesday, UNICEF vehicles were hit by live fire. The agency's regional director, Adele Kutter, stated that the vehicles, quote, were en route to reunite five children, including a baby, with their father. One vehicle was struck by three bullets, but fortunately no injuries occurred. The team managed to proceed with the mission and safely deliver the children. This is the second shooting incident involving UNICEF cars on humanitarian duty in the past 12 weeks, and on both occasions, the humanitarian consequences could have been severe for both our teams and the children they serve. Finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists and others in Gaza who are not just relentlessly documenting the unspeakable atrocities, but also making sure to highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people. This photo is by the Gaza-based photographer Ibrahim Nofal on Twitter, or X, at Nofal_I. Palestinian men filmed themselves riding a donkey cart and vowing to rebuild the north of Gaza. I'll narrate the subtitles for accessibility. From the north of Gaza, I swear a great atmosphere. I swear we will rebuild all of this. All of this. It will be rebuilt. Careful, careful. We'll rebuild all of it. All of this destruction will be rebuilt, God willing. They tell you to go to the south? That's stupid. They're acting dumb. We're going to go to the sea. The Sea of the North, too, to spite Netanyahu. We wronged the donkey by naming it Netanyahu, man. I swear, the best atmosphere. The Gaza Great Minds Educational Initiative posted this video of children in a tent school proudly displaying their small garden that they are growing. You can hear the Israeli drones constantly overhead, but their faces are beaming. And that's from Gaza Great Minds. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our phenomenal features by our phenomenal writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.